may be seated. The kids are dismissed for junior church. If you'll take your Bibles and join me in 1 Kings chapter 18. And we're going to read verses 30 through 38. Over the past couple of Sundays, we've been talking about living a purposeful life. And we talked about being able to do that, obviously, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he has a purpose for our life. And obviously, the general purpose of us living our life to bring honor and glory to the Lord, to worship the Lord with our life, and to enjoy the Lord. He's given us a life to enjoy and to enjoy it with him. And last week, we looked at I don't remember now. Who remembers what we looked at last week? I can't remember what I did yesterday. What was that, Brother Jim? I know, it's like, but I do know today, because I've got my notes, we're going to talk about living a purposeful life through the power of praying, And again, God does have a purpose for our life. He does have a specific calling in each of our lives, but the life we want to live, if we want to have a life that has meaning and purpose as a child of God, prayer has to be a part of it. And we see that in 1 Kings chapter 18, looking at verse 30 through 38. So 1 Kings chapter 18, looking at verse number 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time, and they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time, and they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at that time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you that we do serve the true living God who has all power. And Lord, there is nothing you cannot do in your people's life. We thank you, Father, that you do turn the hearts of people towards you. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. And Father, I thank you that you have drawn these people unto you. And I thank you, Father, that they know you as their Lord and Savior. And I know there may be someone here that does not have 100% assurance of salvation. They may not know Jesus Christ personally as our Lord and Savior. And I pray today would be the day, whether it's someone right here in this room or someone watching via live stream or someone that will watch it later at some other time. I pray, Father, you'd use it to draw people unto Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that you would please bless our time, Lord. We don't take it for granted. And Father, we never want to go through a church service where you are not present with us, directing it, speaking to our hearts, drawing our hearts unto you. I pray, Father, that you would do that. And I thank you, Father, that you are in the midst of us, because Jesus promised Where two or more are gathered together in his name, there you are in the midst. And we thank you, Father, as God's people have gathered together. Lord, you are with us. But Lord, we know there are times that we may quench the Holy Spirit. We may grieve the Holy Spirit to where we personally do not hear from heaven. And Father, we don't want that. So I prayed, Lord, that you would open up heaven this morning and speak to us through your word. I prayed you guide us by your Spirit. And Father, that you would touch the hearts of the children and junior church, just as you touched their hearts in Sunday school through your word. I pray that you would continue to nurture the hearts of these young children. And Father, the word of God would take root in their hearts, and that it would bring forth much fruit in their life, one salvation, and then a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ throughout the years to come. And Father, ask you do that for us as well as we sit here, Lord, having a desire to want to hear from you and to have a real walk with you and a real relationship each and every day. And Father, we ask that you bless it, bring honor and glory to yourself, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Most of us are probably familiar with the life of Elijah, and I just read a portion of chapter 18, but this is where Elijah has come to Mount Carmel, and he has come to give God's people an opportunity to choose between the false god that they're serving, Baal, or to choose and to repent and to go back to Jehovah, who is the true living God that they know to be real, they know to be true, but they have allowed themselves to follow lies and deception by following King Ahab and Queen Jezebel in worshiping Baal and all the false prophets. And you look here in this chapter, and Elijah has come to Mount Carmel, and we started at the portion where Elijah repairs the altar of God that was torn down. Elijah goes back to a very special place where there was an altar that was used to worship God, to pray to God, and to see God's blessing upon his people. But it had been forsaken, it had been neglected, and as God uses the words in Scripture, torn down. Specifically, somebody had taken the altar of God, torn it down, and caused God's people to follow and to worship a false god who has eyes that cannot see, ears but cannot hear, a mouth that cannot speak, arms that cannot save. And in Psalm 115, in verses 4 through 7, the Bible says, "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat." That's exactly what the children of Israel were worshiping during this time. They were worshiping a false god that could do absolutely nothing for them. And if you were to read back in this chapter, you would see where Elijah was very gracious, and he gave the 500 prophets of Baal an opportunity to pray to their God and to ask their God to rain fire down from heaven upon their sacrifice. And as you read it, as they would get close to the evening sacrifice, their false god did not answer one word of their prayer. In fact, if you were to read in those previous verses, these false prophets that were trying to get their false god to do something that only God can do, only Jesus Christ, only the true living God can do, they started cutting themselves. They started disfiguring themselves. They started dancing upon the altar, trying to get the attention of a dead god to do something that only a true living God could do. And now Elijah comes to the place. He comes to the moment where it's time for the evening sacrifice. And Elijah takes a bullock. He takes a sacrifice. He takes 12 stones. And he builds an altar there, 12 stones, as the Bible says, to represent the 12 tribes of Israel, God's people. He rebuilds an altar specifically for God. And he cuts the wood, he lays the wood upon the altar. He cuts up the bullock, he lays the sacrifice upon the altar according to God's word back in the law, how that sacrifice was supposed to be prepared, laid upon the altar. But then he does something very strange that they never did. If you were to go back and read back through the sacrifices that they would do, they never would take water and pour it upon the sacrifice before lighting the fire. But Elijah called for 4 barrels of water to be poured out on the sacrifice, not once, but 3 times. To really get that sacrifice, to really get that hide of that bullock soaking wet, and then he fills the trench that has been dug around the altar, he fills it up with water. I mean, humanly speaking, Elijah's making it very difficult for God to answer his prayer. He's causing there to be an impossibility in the presence of the people that are there. Now, it was very strange to see people cutting themselves and dancing upon an altar, trying to get a false god to do something. But now as they watch Elijah have all this altar rebuilt, the wood laid in order, the sacrifice put upon the altar, all this water poured upon the altar, no doubt was strange as well. Because we know that something that is soaking wet is not going to catch fire. But as Elijah did that, he was trying to get the attention of God's people. This morning, as I said, the title of the message is Living a Purposeful Life Through Powerful Praying. God has called us to live a life with purpose and to live it with the gift that he's given us and the privilege he's given us to pray to a God who can do anything that we need and that he will show his power in our life. Their God was a lifeless God with no power to answer the simplest prayer. The people, though, would not answer Elijah when Elijah said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. Either serve Baal or serve God." And they would not answer him one word. But Elijah prayed, though, and he prayed upon this altar, and God answered with fire, as we see in verse 38. Or actually, look at verse 36, if you would. "It came to pass at the time of the evening, of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'Lord,'" this is him offering up his prayer to God, just a very simple prayer, "'Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel.'" I mean, it just lets us know that he's praying to the living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. That God is not the God of the dead, but he's the God of the living because he is a living God. "Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word." Elijah, everything he was doing was by the word of God. This is what God wanted Elijah to do because God wanted his people's hearts to be turned back to him. In verse 37, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell." Elijah offers up this prayer to God, a simple prayer that God would show himself mighty in the lives of his people. And he asks that God would show and prove that Elijah was sent by him, that Elijah was not there on his own accord, but that God had sent them there and that God would manifest his power to his people. And he did. The fire of God fell. There are times in our life where we may get away from praying. We may get away from that intimate time that we spend with God in prayer, pouring our heart out to God, asking God to intervene in our life, and times where we just want to spend some time in the presence of the Lord, just praising him and thanking him for all he's done in our life. There's things that are vying in your life. There's things that are pulling at you and me to pull us away from our personal relationship with God. And prayer is a very personal, intimate time with God. It's something that is sacred. It's something that should be cherished. It is something that should be of value in our life. And when you think about someone that gets away from spending quality time with their Savior, their hearts will start to turn to things that have no value and things that are temporal and things that have no power whatsoever to effectively change their life and to help them in time of need. Elijah does three things in these verses. He repairs the altar. If we ever find ourselves in a moment of our life where prayer is no longer important, that is the time that we need to rebuild that altar. We need to rebuild that time and that place that we used to spend with God in prayer. And maybe somebody has never really had a prayer life. Someone has never really had a close relationship with God after salvation. It's for one reason or another, the prayer life just wasn't developed. Well, there's an altar that needs to be built in our life, a very special place that we prepare to spend time with God, and a very special time as well, choosing a time of day. It was coming to the evening sacrifice, a very special time to worship God. And Elijah gave the prophets of Baal their time. They took all day from the morning sacrifice to the evening sacrifice. He gave them all that time to obviously prove that their God, their false God, could not do the simplest thing that a God should be able to do. And only one true living God could. And Elijah at the evening sacrifice showed the people that there's a God in heaven that can still answer prayer. There's a God in heaven that can still be active in our lives and wants to show his power in our life. Elijah trusted God who works through difficulties. In those verses, he made it very difficult in the eyes of man for fire to light that sacrifice. But again, it wasn't going to be just a man with a match or a torch trying to light something that was so soaking wet. God obviously rained fire down from heaven. That fire, as the Bible says, consumed the sacrifice, consumed the wood, consumed the 12 stones, and consumed the water that was in the trench. Elijah prayed to the only living God who can hear our prayers and answer them with transforming power. Living a purposeful life through powerful praying. And there are some things I want us to think about as we think about just our own prayer life. Is there power in our own prayer life? Is there a change? Is there something that's very special when we go to pray? Or has it become something that is insignificant, something that is just routine, something that really has no meaning to it? It's something I know I'm supposed to do, I do it, and that's it. We're missing out on the greatest blessing of spending time with a true living God who redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb, who has called us into fellowship with him, who reconciled us through Jesus Christ unto himself. In Psalm 18, verse 6, the Bible says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God." The psalmist says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord," the only one who can hear my prayers, the only one that can see truly the heaviness of my heart, the only one that can see what's weighing upon my mind, the only one that can lift the burdens off of me, the only one that can truly answer my prayers according to his will, the only one that can truly bring everlasting peace into my life, everlasting comfort to my mind, the only one that can help me to see through spiritual eyes that there is a God in heaven who loves me and knows me and hears my cries and will come to my aid. The psalmist says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice." Remember, the false idols back in Psalm 115 have ears that cannot hear. But the psalmist, as well as us, when we pray, we know that God hears us. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. We know that we have a God that knows our frame is but dust. We know that we have a Savior who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. We know that we have a Savior who says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we today need to know that God does hear our prayers, and we need to evaluate our prayer life if we want to have a life that's purposeful, a life that has meaning, a life that is enjoyable, regardless of what's going on in our life, regardless of what's going on around us and in this world. We need to understand that there is power in praying, and it's a wonderful gift right along the gift of salvation that God's given us to spend time with him. He's given us the boldness to come into the throne room of grace to ask for help in time of need. But there are some prerequisites to praying. There are some prerequisites that need to be met before you and I can truly pray to a living God. And number one, and that is to have a right relationship with God. Take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 6 as we look at the words of Jesus Christ. There may be someone who has bought into the lie that the deceiver, your adversary, your enemy, the devil, wants you to believe that God does not operate through prayer anymore. It's an Old Testament way of living. It was something done in the early churches, but today in the 21st century, God does not work that way. There may be times where the devil tries to tell you that God doesn't hear your cries because of your neglect of him, because you have not been walking with him, you've not been faithfully reading his Bible. I can tell you this morning that as a child of God, when we stray away from what's right and God moves upon our heart like he did upon the prodigal son, and the prodigal son, he was reminded of the goodness of the Father. As a child of God, God is not going to just let you go and let you have a miserable life. He is going to move upon your heart. He's going to try to draw you back to him. And when he does, he shows you his love and his grace that no matter how much I've messed up, I can still cry out to him for forgiveness and he hears me. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, Jesus says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. I mean, just in Jesus' own words, we understand and we're reminded that we are praying to a living God who hears us and knows us and even knows what you're going to say before you say it. But he still wants to hear your voice. He still wants you to cry out like Hannah when something is weighing heavy upon your heart and you're distressed and you're starting to fret, you're starting to worry. He still wants you to cry out and pour out your heart to him and let him know what it is that's grieving you, what it is that is keeping you up at night, what it is that's costing you not to be healthy because you're not allowing yourself to walk close with the Lord. We understand, and science tells us, the doctors tell us, that stress weighs heavy upon a person, and stress in a person's life can cause physical harm, can cause health issues. And God wants us to walk with him. He wants us to pour out our hearts to him and let him have what it is that's weighing us down so that not only can we be more physically healthy, but we can be spiritually healthy as well. Jesus again says, be not ye therefore like unto them. Again, understanding that it's not I have to say the perfect words to God. I have to repeat a prayer that I've been taught. But it's having a relationship with someone who's real, someone who's living, someone who understands me, someone who will listen to me, someone who wants to help me, someone who wants to change my life and bless my life and help me to be more at peace. Someone who wants me to be filled with his love and his joy and his peace. Someone who wants my mind to be at rest where I'm not thinking of all the things that I cannot control and all the things that are causing me to be stressed out and worried and contemplating suicide and contemplating divorce and contemplating leaving my kids and contemplating changing my life because I think if I get rid of everything that I think is wrong, I'll be okay. No. It's coming to the end of ourself and realizing I've neglected my relationship with God that's caused me to be in this place of insecurity, in this place that I dread, in this place that seems dark and is caving in upon me. The prerequisite to powerful praying, to being able to pray and have God answer your prayer in a very powerful way, is to have a right relationship with God. Romans 8 verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." In verse number 9 of Romans 8, he says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his." I mean, just in those two verses, if you read in that entire chapter, it's talking about being born again. It's talking about if you are a child of God and you have the Holy Spirit of God in your life, then you have a relationship with God. You are a child of God, but the relationship may not be right. Your relationship with God may not be right because you've neglected reading God's word. You've neglected allowing God's word to change your life. You've neglected prayer in the sense of really spending time with your Savior who knows you, who knows your life, who wants to help you through your day, who wants to give you the grace, the strength to endure the trials of life, who wants to fill your heart with his love and his joy, and wants your mind to be at ease. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you're a child of God this morning, then you know you're in the family of God, but how close is your relationship with God? When you pray, does it seem like you're praying with yourself? Does it seem like your prayers are not going further than the ceiling? Does it seem when you're done praying that you feel as though it's a waste of time because you don't feel like you've spent time in the presence of God? You don't feel like God's heard your prayers? In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Again, just knowing that you are a child of God, if the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you, and it cries out, "Abba, Father," because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." That's the confidence that we have in God, that if we ask anything through prayer, God hears us because we are his children. But by chance, somebody is not hearing from heaven. By chance, a child of God, even in this room or listening via live stream or listening to the message at some other time, sees that God's not answering their prayers whatsoever, then we don't have a right relationship with God. That something is between our Savior and us. There's something hindering the prayer of a child of God from being heard and answered by their Savior. Again, to have a right relationship with God is to be obedient to God's word. Now, we're talking about living a purposeful life. A life that has meaning, a life that has purpose, a life that is blessed by the Lord as a child of God. And as we think about Elijah there on Mount Carmel, the altar of God had been torn down. the place of worship had been torn down, and God's people at that time were not going to Mount Carmel. They weren't going up to Mount Carmel. They were not going and sacrificing the sacrifices that God wanted. They were not worshiping and praying to the God of heaven, but they had turned their hearts and started trusting a false God that can do absolutely nothing for them, no matter how much they tried. Again, the false prophets of Baal were cutting themselves, dancing, doing everything to get the attention of a false God that could not see, could not hear, could not help them whatsoever. Maybe in your life, maybe in somebody's life, they're asking God to help, and they're not seeing any help. They're asking God to lift the burdens in their life, but the burdens are not being lifted. We would have to evaluate ourselves and evaluate, am I truly praying in faith to the one who saved me, the one who has given me a new life in Christ, or am I simply praying to pray? And I'm not truly praying to the one who loves me more than anything else, who manifested his love at Calvary through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who's given me this new life because Jesus Christ arose from the grave victorious, and I have victory in Jesus Christ. Because in order to live a purposeful life through the power of praying and having a powerful praying life, we do, as God's people, need to obey the words of God. I want you to take your Bibles and go to 1 Peter chapter 3, if you would. Because as Elijah rebuilt the altar of God in the presence of God's people on Mount Carmel, he was showing the people that there is a special place. There's a proper way to come to God and to pray to God and to spend time in the presence of the Lord. There has to be a special place in our life. There has to be a time that we personally set aside each day to come before the presence of the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." Through the Holy Spirit of God, Peter pens these words. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous," reminding us that God sees us and God watches over us and God cares for us. He says, "His ears are open unto their prayers," reminding us that we do have a God that has ears to hear, a God who wants to hear our prayers, a God who wants to hear our voice, the voice that he gave us. Whether it's a squeaky voice, whether it's a rough voice, whether, you know, it's a high-pitched voice or a deep voice, whatever your voice is, however your voice sounds, that's the voice God wants to hear from you because you're his child. And he's given you and me that very special privilege of coming into the throne room of grace, to come into his presence, to spend time with him. But he says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." His face is against them that do evil. You and I may not be living what we would consider a sinful lifestyle. We may not be living in gross sin that's spelled out in the Bible, but if we're living in unbelief, that is sin, because unbelief is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith, the Bible says, is sin. Maybe we've stopped believing in prayer. We pray because we know we're supposed to, but we don't really believe anything's going to change. We don't believe God's going to answer it. We don't believe God's going to hear it. But Peter reminds us, and we know, it's something we know, but God has eyes. His eyes are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. Those that are believing God, those that are trusting God, those that are faithfully following him and every day allowing God to work in their life. They are trusting God, allowing their steps to be guided by God, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Those that are not walking in faith, those that are not trusting the Lord. Now, God, again, God knows our struggles. He knows that at times we struggle with believing that God can or will. Again, those are the moments where we have to say, Lord, help mine unbelief. Help me where I'm struggling. God knows that we struggle at different times, that we have to be honest with the Lord. As we think about having a life full of powerful praying where God answers, Elijah there on Mount Carmel wanted God's people to see who was the real God. They had allowed themselves to believe that the God of heaven was no longer real, that the God of heaven no longer cared about them, that the God of heaven no longer saw them and wanted to be active in their life. But as Elijah was on that mount, on Mount Carmel, and as he stood there at that sacrifice, the altar that had been rebuilt, and as he laid that sacrifice on the altar, and as the water was poured multiple times upon the sacrifice, as a trench was filled up with water, a person who is trying to get back to prayer, trying to get back to a life that has purpose through the power of prayer, and we come to that moment to pray, it may seem difficult. It may seem like, I don't know if God's going to hear me because I've been walking contrary. I've been living contrary to his word. It may seem that even as we start to pray that it's like a battle. There's a temptation just to stop before we even start. And as Elijah started praying, and as Elijah asked God to glorify himself, remember, God wants to glorify himself in your life, in the life that he is transforming and wants to transform, the life that he called out of darkness, the life that he broke the chains of sin, the life that he picked up out of the miry clay and set your feet upon that rock, Jesus Christ, the one who has established your goings. He's the one that we want to glorify and be glorified in our life. And as we obey his word, we will see God doing great and mighty things. In James, take your Bibles and go to James chapter 4. Praying is one of the simplest things God calls his children to do. It's one of the simplest things that you and I can do, yet at times it's the hardest because of how much power we've given our flesh, how much we've given over to doing our will and not the Father's will. In James chapter 4, you look at verse 6, the Bible says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud." The one that doesn't think anything's wrong. The one that thinks, well, I don't really need God in my life. I just want him to make sure everything in my life is good. But I don't really need God. Someone who walks contrary to the ways of God. And again, not talking about the lost, but God's people. Elijah was on Mount Carmel not to convert the prophets of Baal. He was there to help God's people turn back to their God who had brought them out of Egypt, their God who had blessed them along the way, who had given them land, who had provided for them, protected them, who loved them and wanted to be a part of their life. Elijah was there to show God's people that there was only one true living God that could answer prayer and transform their life and do great and mighty things. Again, in James, he says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." In verse 8, he says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Again, the people of God there on Mount Carmel, they were double-minded. They had come to a place in their life where they didn't even answer Elijah when he said, "Sir, you know, choose who you're going to serve. If you're going to serve Baal, serve him. If you're going to serve God, serve him." And the Bible says they answered him not a word. They were double-minded. They weren't even going to answer the question. But if we want to have prayer that's full of power, if we want to have a life that has purpose, because we are given over to what God's given us, prayer, then we have to start with, we want having a right relationship with God. Yes, making sure and having full assurance that you're saved, born again, you're a child of God, but number two, being in fellowship with God, being right with God. And then allowing God's word to guide your life. Allowing yourself to give in to the word of God. Allowing the word of God to change you from the inside out. And to allow yourself to fully trust God's word 100%. Again, we live in a world and we live in a culture that, again, that's totally anti-Christ. It's anti-Bible. And we as God's people have to make sure that we are, our hearts and minds are saturated by the truth of God's word, and that our life is centered around fellowship with God through prayer. Again, in James, he says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Again, maybe there's someone who's gotten away from God through prayer, and God says, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. In verse 10 of James 4, he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Again, it's coming to the Lord and humbling ourselves before God and saying, Lord, my prayer life is not what it should be. I want it to be so much more. I want my prayer life to be real. I want it to be where when I come to you in prayer, I know that I'm coming in the presence of God. I'm coming before God. And when I walk away from my prayer time, I feel rejuvenated. I feel refreshed. I feel like I have truly spent time at the throne of God, and I truly have received the help that I need. Again, there are times where we struggle with different things in life. Life can weigh upon us heavily. And God's the only one that can help us. And God's given us the gift of prayer. But if we want to live a purposeful life, then prayer has to be a huge part of it. It has to be a daily part of our life. I know in one part, one of the psalmists said, morning and at noon and at night, he said that he would pray. I mean, all throughout the day, just spending time with the Lord, talking to the Lord, casting our cares upon the Lord, allowing God to be active in our life, allowing God to show himself mighty in our life. And guess what? We get the privilege of being able to talk with the eternal creator, the one who gave us our life, the one who has prepared a place for us in heaven, the one who has all the answers to everything we will ever face, and the one who wants to take the load off of us, the one who wants to fill our heart with his love and his joy and his peace, wants our minds to be at rest. And when you think about this purposeful life, when you think about having this powerful prayer life, because again, when you go back and you think about Elijah, you know what, go back and look at it. If you're not there, go back to 1 Kings chapter 18. Now, I want you to look at the words of Elijah's prayer. Again, there is not a perfect written down prayer that we are to quote when we go to God. Now you may find yourself saying things you've heard someone else say. I have found myself over the years, I've listened to pastors pray, and I've found myself at times saying things that they've said. For instance, when I first started praying as a little boy, and even as a young man, standing before my home church, as my pastor gave me the privilege to open up the service in a word of prayer every Sunday and read scripture, I'd always started my prayer with, "Dear Lord," as though I was writing a letter. And there's nothing wrong with that. But then I found myself over time, as I listened to other pastors, other men of God pray and how they addressed God, I found that they addressed God as though they were speaking directly to Him. So I kind of took that and I kind of changed how I address God. I no longer say, "Dear Lord." But again, there's no specific way you have to address God or specific words you have to pray, because it's a relationship. And sometimes we may get away from God, and as we're trying to get back in fellowship with God, we find it may be difficult, and we're like, "Oh, I'm not quite sure what to say." You just open up and say, "Lord, You know me. You know my struggles. I'm just glad that we can talk to God on a personal level, still having respect and honor." But notice what Elijah says in these verses, just a very simple prayer. He didn't ask God to do anything against His people. He didn't ask God to do anything against the prophets of Baal, though they would lose their life later on. But as Elijah came to the place of prayer, and as he rebuilt the altar that had been torn down, that very special place, and as he put upon that altar what God had already said should be on the altar. Because in Romans 12, we're called to be a living sacrifice. That's where we come and say, "Lord, here am I belong to You. Lord, here's my life, the life that You gave me." As he is there at that altar, rebuilding that altar, putting that sacrifice on that altar, in the eyes of the people, they see something that's impossible. It may be that there's doubt that God's going to hear from heaven because He's been neglected for so long. Yet someone who believes in prayer, someone who believes in a true living God, someone who believes in their Savior, who died for them and shed His blood for them and rose from the grave victorious for them, when their eyes get back on the author and finisher of their faith, they will see God answering in great and powerful ways in their life. Here he says, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. He wanted the people to know it was God moving in their heart. It was God drawing them unto Himself. That when the fire would fall and the people would cry out, "God is God," that it was God moving in their heart and drawing their hearts back to Him. In verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell. God's fire fell upon that sacrifice because it was a willing sacrifice. It was a sacrifice. It was a place that was rebuilt. Maybe you do have a great prayer life. Maybe you don't need to rebuild the altar in your life. But that altar can be approved upon. That altar can, in our life, that altar can use, I guess I'll use the word polishing. It could use more of our time being spent at it. Because there are times where our faith is going to be tested. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Jesus tells his disciples, at this moment, they were not able to cast out a demon out of a young boy. And Jesus, right here, he says, because of your unbelief. There was some doubt in them whether they could cast out the demon through the power that God had given them. Jesus had given the disciples power to cast out demons, heal the sick. He comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration. He comes down from being on the mountaintop with Peter, James, and John and them seeing him in his glorified body with Moses and Elijah there on Mount Transfiguration. He comes down. The Father comes to him. The Father says, I believe, help my unbelief. His son is healed by Jesus. The disciples say, why couldn't we do that? And it was because of unbelief. Unbelief had crept into their heart at some moment. And the way that you and I are going to have a purposeful life that has powerful praying in it is, number one, have a right relationship with God. Number two, follow his word, allow the word of God to be a part of your life, and to have a faith that's unshakable. Your faith will be tested at times, but pray and ask God to help you to have a faith that's unshakable. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. An unshakable faith in your Savior, in the power of God, in God that answers prayer. James chapter 1. Go if you would. James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. We'll end with this. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. It's a wonderful promise from God. In James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, if any of you lack wisdom, you don't know what to do. Your thoughts are not settled. You're unsure of what tomorrow holds. You're not sure how to handle a situation. You're not even sure how to apply scripture to your life. God says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. God said, ask in faith, nothing wavering, no doubting, no unbelief. But coming to God in prayer, asking. You know why the fire from God fell upon that sacrifice? Because there was a man that prayed in belief and faith that God would do what God was going to do. Elijah prayed that God would show himself great and mighty, and that God would move in the hearts of the people, and that God would just show that he was a servant of the Lord, doing what God asked him to do. There are things that you want in your life. There's not a single person who doesn't want joy and peace. And we serve a God who can give us that joy and that peace. We serve a God who can answer our prayers. We serve a God who can show us personally that there is a reason for living. There's a reason why he's giving you the life that you have. You know, I've often wondered why certain things happened in my life. And then later on, God shows me that what happened, he's going to allow me to use it to help somebody else who is struggling with that same thing. And maybe, I'm sure, you know, he's probably done that with you as well, where you could relate to somebody. You think about prayer. Prayer is not just for praying over a meal. It's asking God to give you the strength to endure another day, to give you the grace to walk in patience, to walk in the light of His countenance. Prayer is asking God not just to do things for you, but it's spending time in His presence, allowing yourself to be refreshed, allowing your joy, allowing your light to become brighter, as Moses' face shone so bright they had to cover it with a veil because the people were afraid of it. A lot of Christians do neglect prayer. A lot of Christians don't believe in prayer the way the Bible teaches it. Prayer is a powerful tool that God's given us to fight against the devil, and it's a wonderful privilege to spend time with Him. But I do want to say this. If we're not finding our prayers being answered, we do need to evaluate our own life. Is there something between me and the Savior? Is my relationship not right? I know I'm a child of God. But it's just like children. If my little children are constantly disobeying what I say, and then they want to come and say, "Can I go to the park? Can you take me to the park? Oh, you're going to the store? Can you get me some ice cream?" But they've been disobeying all day. I'm not going to bring them ice cream. I'm not going to give them anything they're asking for. And yet we have a Heavenly Father who wants to pour out His blessing. More than anything, He wants us to believe in prayer. He wants us to believe that He is a God who can answer our prayers, and that He wants to do great and mighty things in our life. If you want to have a life that's full of purpose and meaning, let prayer be a great part of your life. Let your relationship with God grow deeper and allow it to grow even more meaningful in your life. Go ahead and stand if you would. We'll close with a word of prayer.